Okay, here we go. What I want to talk about now is Zionism. Now, while political Zionism began in the 19th century, the first Zionists might be like lovers of Zion, lovers of Israel, longing to return, were the exiled Jews from the Hormah, who said, we famously have in the Tehillim, the Meshkechei Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, right, if I forget Jerusalem, I should forget my right hand, but my, you know, right hand lose its cunning, etc. Now, Jews, three times a day, daven, Yerushalayim Ircha, right, we're turning towards Yerushalayim, both Yom Kippur, and Leil HaSeder, we proclaim, L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. So Jews have been longing for Yerushalayim and for Eretz Yisrael ever since we got kicked out. But these were words. The movement began in earnest when nationalism began to sweep through Europe. Nationalism got transformed into Zionism for the Jews, and this was sweeping through Europe, and Jews recognized themselves not just as a religion, but as a nation, a people that needs a homeland. Right? We're the only religion that has only one nationality and the only nationality that has one religion. So we started to understand that they are connected. Anti-Semitism was rampant and assimilation wasn't the cure. The movements like Chovev Etzion began in the 19th century but got a real boost when Theodor Herzl joined. Okay, Herzl's years are 1860 to 1904. He died a very young man. Now, if Hitler was a one-man machine capable of bringing about so much evil, Herzl was one man with the power for good. As I heard someone say, there were lots of Rabbanim that gave drashot. Herzl was the first person to come up with a business plan. Okay? So how are we going to do it? He turned Zionism into an international movement. As a world-recognized journalist for the leading European newspaper out of Vienna, he was covering what famous trial?
The Dreyfus Affair.
Dreyfus was falsely accused of treason. The government found out and still covered it up, and he was finally freed years later after tremendous backlash. You go in Paris today, see the place where the newspaper was published. Emile Zola had his own newspaper, and the entire front page just said, "J'accuse, we accuse, accuse the government of this anti-Semitism." Now, what shook Herzl wasn't the anti-Dreyfus sentiment; was the chance in the enlightened city of Paris, "Death to the Jews." Right, this was liberal France. He wrote a pamphlet that's translated as the Jewish State, outlining his program to create a Jewish state. And he traveled to all over the world, speaking to whoever he could in order to bring this about. He met with kings, he met with kaisers, he met with sultans, he met with the Pope. His motto was, Im Tirtzu Ein Zo Agada. If you only will it, it's not a fantasy. There are some movements today that refer to, like there's a movement that I'm familiar with in Israel called Im Tirtzu. Right? It's based on this, Im Tirtzu Ein Zo Agada. If you want it enough, so then it's not a fantasy. He organized the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland in 1897 with over 200 delegates from 19 countries. Okay? Very fancy, black tie, formal affair. At the end, he wrote in his journal, quote, at Basel, I created the Jewish state. It might take 50 years, but it will happen. And as we know, prophetically, 50 years later, the United Nations voted in favor of partition in November 29th, 1947, 50 years after he said this, and half a year later, Ben-Gurion declared the state. He left in his will when the Jewish state is formed. When? Right? Knew it was going to happen. Please move my body. And in 1949, it was done. And the military cemetery in Yerushalayim was renamed after him, Har Herzl, where also many dignitaries of state are buried as well. Now, groups were coming to Israel. Okay? What was it called when you come to Israel. Aliyah. There were different aliyot. Okay, the first aliyah, the second aliyah, groups. We had individuals coming. Now we have groups coming, and they start to cultivate the land. These pioneers, what are they called? The what? No, what's the Hebrew word for the pioneers that are coming and cultivating the land? Begins with a chet? Chalutzim. Okay, so you have the aliyah, you have the chalutzim. Israel got a big boost in 1917 as England was on the verge of conquering Palestine from whom?
The Turks.
The Turks in World War I. They declared its support for a Jewish homeland in Palestine. This declaration was known as
Balfour.
The Balfour Declaration by Lord Balfour, who was then foreign minister, later become the prime minister. Okay? And obviously the Arabs were not a big fan of that. In 1939, the United Kingdom does an about face, and they issue what's called the White Paper, now saying that His Majesty's government is not in favor of the Jews settling Israel and a homeland in Israel, but it's too late, because by then, 1922, the League of Nations, the precursor to the United Nations, had already accepted the rationale of the Balfour Declaration, and they all said, yeah, this is what has to happen, and they just made a British mandate they would be caretakers until that time. Now, the White Paper limited Jewish immigration to about 75,000 Jews over 5 years, which signaled to Hitler that it didn't really care about what happened to the Jews. And the Brits themselves patrolled the borders and the water, and they prohibited disembarkment and sent ships away. Many Jews died at sea. The British became the enemy of the Jews in Palestine. And the only machlokus was, do we act against them during World War II when ostensibly they're part of the Allies fighting against the Nazis who are trying to kill Jews? That was the only machlokus. Do we have to fight against the Brits? That everyone agreed. Just as the question was, do we have a period where we don't attack during World War II? Some felt yes, some felt no. The law of return, that was one of the first laws passed by the newly elected Israeli government, was seen as a reaction to the White Paper that did not allow Jews into Israel. Now it's saying, you're Jewish, you're allowed in. Any old Jewish ancestry, you're allowed in. We mentioned before, November 29th, 1947, you have the United Nations vote. Now, in order to vote Israel into existence, you would need two-thirds of the vote. We mentioned in the past that they even ran a poll. They did a vote the day before the official vote was supposed to go through, and Israel did not have the numbers. There's a lot of pressure and a lot of hashkachat pratit. It did happen. The vote was 33 to 13 with 10 abstentions. So what do you see? There were 56 countries, and we got 33 votes. There are 193 countries today. You think we'd get 33 votes? No, I don't think. Not a chance. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu was smiling on us. So we got two-thirds of the then 56, I think it's actually 57, and someone just didn't show up that day. But with 193, we wouldn't come close to 33 votes. Maybe 30. Not even sure 3, forget a two-thirds. Right? We wouldn't get the same 33 votes that we got in 1947, okay, both the United States and Russia voted in favor of the partition plan. Today, we sure wouldn't have Russia, and depending on the president, there's nothing sure if we got America, who knows. They voted in favor of the partition plan between Jews and Arabs, and it was truly remarkable. Okay, what was the calendar date that the state comes into existence? Okay, wait, in Hebrew? Hey-Iyar. Hey-Iyar, proclamation of the state by David Ben-Gurion. David Ben-Gurion declares it at 4 p.m. on Friday. Now, the truth is, it wasn't really going to be ours till midnight. The British were going to pull out at midnight, but since Ben-Gurion didn't want Chil Shabbos, he declared the state 8 hours earlier. And he decides to name this new country Medina Yisrael. There are all sorts of suggestions. That was the name that was given. And immediately with the declaration, the War of Independence breaks out. The Arabs reject the partition plan, and Israel is attacked by six armies. What are the six armies? Four of them neighbor Israel.
Egypt,
Lebanon, Syria, Jordan. Two more that didn't, that also sent troops, Iraq and Saudi Arabia. Okay? The United States had warned Israel, this may happen. But they ignored the warnings and they declared statehood. The Arabs had trained soldiers and many weapons. And Israel had a ragtag army. Some of them were survivors of the Holocaust. They were speaking different languages. It was like Migdal Bavel, except they had weapons. Okay? And not that many weapons. Okay? Migdal Bavel, with some of them had weapons. Some had a gun with like six bullets and said, that's it. Use them sparingly. It was a very costly war for Israel. 1% of aside from all the infrastructure that was destroyed, 1% of the population was killed. Okay, 6,000 casualties, 1% of the population. But in the end, Israel wins, survives, is able to beat back the attack, and actually grows in size. Over the next several years, Israel doubles in size as Jews flock to Israel, especially from the Arab countries, who were expelled after the humiliating loss to Israel. Most Arab countries expelled their Jews. No one referred to ethnic cleansing. No one said that. No one said apartheid. Yes?
Why didn't they just kill them?
There were pogroms, and there were many Jews killed. For the most part, they just confiscated the land and their possessions, their homes, told them they can leave with one. It probably takes longer to kill everyone. And they just kicked them out. And they kicked them out. And most made their way to Israel. Not all, but most made their way to Israel. In 1948, the Jews became for the first people in history to regain a homeland after being exiled from it. And our great-grandparents of 100 years ago would be shocked to learn that Israel has become, you know, the major Jewish population, with nearly half of world's Jewry, one of the most powerful armies in the world, certainly the most powerful army in the Middle East, a startup nation, and without a doubt, the center of Torah learning. Right? If 100 years ago you would have told your great-grandparents that was going to happen 100 years from now, they'd say, where do I sign on for that? That's amazing. And we unfortunately sometimes look at all the problems without recognizing the miracles that transpired. Okay.